Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Now watch me waste the Macho Man with acclaimed WrestleMania for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
A leg drop, an elbow smash, a body slam!
WWF WrestleMania from Acclaim!
Ooh, yeah, I want a rematch!
I want a refund!
Yeah, I want a refund.
Greetings and welcome to Play Retro. This is Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. Got a little hung up there on the last part of it. I am your co-host, Scott Johnson, and my entire knowledge of professional wrestling are video games, Slim Jims, John Cena memes, and knowing what The Rock is cooking. Oh, and that Steve Austin said so, and Hulk Hogan calls everyone brother. Oh, and that Jesse Ventura died gloriously in Predator 1.
Oh, he did. It did. Yeah. Oh, and I'm your other co-host, Brian Dunaway, and I am coming off the turnbuckle to deliver this flying elbow to your tender 8-bit belly. Now submit to my pin as the referee counts to three. Ref, hey, who knocked out the ref? Oh, how the tables have turned. No, not the eye gouging and the fish hooking. Oh, my bits. Get crushed, my 8 bits. Why?
Oh, all 8 of them? All 8 of your bits?
All 8 of my bits. Maybe 16 bits. I never upgraded.
You got to double your 8, and you get the 16, and then if you want the 32, you got to wait for a whole generation, and you double that, and then no one talks about bits anymore.
I loved how wrestlers always would wait for, like, you'd like, oops, I knocked the ref out, yep. Time to go to the eye gouging.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, that was my favorite parts of wrestling.
The eye gouging is always your backup if you need to.
Yeah, it's like, well, if you can't see.
Yeah, if you can't see, then who are you? What are you even doing in the ring? Get out, buddy. Hey, we're talking about wrestling games in the 16-bit and 8-bit eras. We'll talk about those. Trust me, we will. And what I said about my knowledge of wrestling is true. My wrestling knowledge extends to all the wrestlers who became big and crossed over into acting and other things, commercials and junk like that, and video games. Everything else, I was not following it. I wasn't big on wrestling at all. My friends were. They were way into it every day, all day, every day. Whole generations of kids, today even, there are people who just love it, man. They're into it. That just never was my thing. But for some reason, you being me a video game with a bunch of hairy dudes in it, fighting and wrestling, I'm all in.
I love that you think they're, but they're never hairy dudes.
Sometimes.
They're always well-shaven.
No, it depends. Except some of them are hairy.
Well, like, Andre the Giant was kind of hairy, right?
He was little hairy in a gross way.
He was a little hairy. But, you know, that's fine. I mean, he's a giant. How can he can't shave all of that. That'd be too much to ask. But I'm with you, sort of, kind of. I never watched wrestling on my own. I never owned a wrestling game on my own. However, I was surrounded by friends who loved wrestling. And when I would go to their houses, we would watch wrestling. We would smack talk. We would play the wrestling games. So I was all in when I would go to my friends, because you know what? Wrestling is all about, it's all about community, right?
Yeah.
That's what wrestling's really all about. Yeah, to me, I couldn't have fun by myself at wrestling.
Me neither. I think wrestling is no good on its own. It needs more people, at least two, when it comes to video games.
You need two to wrestle.
Yeah, and imagine like a wrestling... In fact, didn't they, early in the pandemic, they had some matches where they didn't have an audience or something? I think that was wrestling. Yeah. Was it wrestling that tried that? Anyway.
Are you talking about when in the days of COVID, when they were...
the early 2020s.
They would just put, yes, they did. And I actually tuned in to watch that because I was like, oh, how's this going to go? Because wrestling is really contingent on people yelling and booing and making noises. Otherwise, you just hear guys slapping each other and banging on the mat and that kind of stuff. So it was interesting to watch.
Yes, banging on the mat, those men.
Yeah, you got to bang it. You got to stomp the mat. Yeah. So the impact.
Randy Savage was a hairy guy. He had a lot of hair.
Oh yeah,
and, he was savage. He was savage. And then the other guy would be grave robber, crypt creep. What was his name?
The grave keeper.
Grave guy.
Grave robber.
What's his name? I can't think of his name.
I think you're thinking of the Undertaker.
Undertaker, about? Jeez.
The grave, the grave digger, the guy that
the guy he was a hairy man. Is what I'm getting at.
Oh, he was a hairy man, but I'm trying to remember. Yeah, you could see his chest hairs and stuff, couldn't you? He had a lot of. He always had his hair down in his face, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and so. Randy Savage never shaved up that chest. That guy grave just digger.
Yeah,
that's what you did. So, you know, whatever. They couldn't all be The Rock where they were smooth as a dolphin's underside. You know, they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
They had to have
I'm
a little
curious
hair.
About that. I've always been curious about that. Do you? So anybody who's a little closer to the wrestling arena, let me know. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. I want to know, how did they get so clean? Do they pay somebody? I mean, you can't shave yourself like that. Or do you have like some kind of like hair removal lotion?
You know we should ask our pal Joey Image, who's an actual wrestler, or was.
We could, but you've seen how hairy he is. I don't think
very
he knows
hairy.
The secret.
He knows the secret. I'm just saying that back in the day, he probably had to shave up some. Nowadays, he just lets it all hang out like, you know, like the Lord made it. But I'd be curious. I'm curious, Joey. He listens to the show here and there, so maybe you'll hear
it. Yeah.
He'll let us know. I don't know. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to get to it in a minute, and we'll see if we touch on your favorite wrestling games of those eras. But before we do, we talked last week all about the shmups of the 80s, 90s, or early, late 70s, early 80s.
Right, right.
Early things shmups. Like Galaga, Galaxian, you know, all that stuff. And
Space Invaders.
We talked a little bit about what they evolved into, and you know, one of my favorite current genres are dual stick shooters and top down shooters, which owe a lot to those earlier shmups. Think of like Geometry Wars and that kind of thing. I love those games. Anyway, I think the new place that all evolved to that is now taken off and exploding is this Vampire Survivor like games, which are all based on this game called Vampire Survivor, which is a weird out of nowhere indie that used old art assets from like old Castlevania games. Clearly a labor of love, but also just kind of hacked together ugly, you know, business. But they made like a really satisfying dopamine loop with that game. It's very good and is now out of early access and is fully on display. Well, in the meantime, a whole bunch of others have come along and said, well, we like that idea, but here's our take, right? I want to make a recommendation on three of those takes in addition to Vampire Survivor. I'm not going to get into great detail here, but if you're out looking for games like that, these are great, okay? I personally, right now, I think the best of the bunch is this game called Brotato.
Oh, Brotato. That's the greatest name ever.
Yeah. And you're a little potato guy with a bunch of guns, and it is a very satisfying loop. I think they've got something special with Brotato. Currently in early access, overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam. It's an amazing little game, plays great on the Steam Deck. Highly recommend Brotato. The next would be a game I just picked up because it just came out called Soulstone Survivors. So they've kind of had to put a little survivors in there to remind people what genre they're not ripping off.
Shooting for. Right.
You know, that they're working with. I'll put it that way. And it's 3D. So if you're like, hey, man, I don't like how crusty and gross and old looking these Vampire Survivor games look like, I would like something a little more panache in the 3D department. Soulstone Survivors appears to be one to do that. Yeah, it's very pretty. Very fun. I played that for 3 hours last night. It was embarrassing. It's great. Great game. And it's like $10. This Brotato is like $4. Soulstone Survivors, $10. And then the third one is also like $4 or $5 called Void Scrappers. And if you're like, man, these games sound cool and all, but I don't want fantasy stuff, how about I go to space? Good news. Void Scrappers takes you to space. It's basically one of these games, though. Picking up upgrades, gathering all the little, in this case, it's scrap, not XP. But, you know, build your ship out, take on bigger waves, like eventually be lord of all you survey. That's a really good one of those. And that's out and done. It's not an early access thing. And available for, like I said, under $5. So, anyway, from last week's Galaga to
money.
Exact. Not only that, but also sending you and I think a really fun direction. These are really fun loops, these games. And there are a ton more. Not all of them are as satisfying. These are my top three at the moment. But who knows? Time may tell. And if you're saying, well, Scott, what about Vampire Survivors itself? No, it's good. I like it. I just have a hard time looking at it for too long. As much as I even love a retro 8-bit or a retro 8-bit, retro like graphics, like, you know, pixel stuff. This isn't that. This is like somebody had a GeoCities site and they put a bunch of transparent 8-bit freaking Final Fantasy GIFs on top of their page. Like, it's just the way it's put together is not. It's just kind of ugly and muggly. It's hard to explain. I would absolutely play another 2D one of these. In fact, Rotato and Void Scrappers are just that. But they're, you know, unique art styles and I think more stylistic and just, I don't know, less thrown together. These other things just feel very patched. They have the advantage of being the first to do this game type. So they are experiencing a ton of success and hats off to them. That's awesome. But I think some of you will be happy to graduate to Brotato, Soulstone Survivors, or Void Scrappers.
I just picked up Brotato from the Blobfish. Yes.
Play Brotato and you tell me that I was right.
Oh, what is Space Gladiators? Oh, they got a lost potato. I see they got a theme going on here. Okay.
Thomas. Yeah, all their games have some potato thing in it. That's their deal. This is easily their best game, though. The rest of their stuff's kind of fair to middling, but this is like, whoa, you guys really nailed it. And that one just feels meaty and fun, and I can't explain it. That's a really good game. Anyway, read more about it on Steam, everybody. Brian, tell me about another Brian sent you a 3D printed Steam Deck controller holder, which, you know, it's a little bit like putting lipstick on a pig, but, you know, tell me about it. What'd you do there?
Well, won't you just tell us how you feel, Scott? Mm. Oh, hi. So Brian Ibbett, who Scott does a podcast with all through the week, and then me and Scott also do one called Film Sack on the weekends. He has a 3D printer in the Etsy store. He doesn't print these, but he did me a solid, and he printed this little Steam Deck holder like this. I missed
Steam controller holder. So now it's not deck.
Yes, yeah, so, I'm no sorry. Deck. I did say deck. I can't say Steam anymore without saying Steam Deck. But yes, so there you go. So now I have a place to put my Steam controller next to my Steam Deck, including a little slot with a dongle. I looked this 3D pattern up on the internet, and then I sent it to Ibbett, and I said, please. And he said, okay. And so now I got a nice little stand.
And he did it on his, this is a resin printer, right? So it's resin.
Yeah, I believe this, I'm not sure which one he did it with, but I'm assuming that's the one he did it with. That's just a guess.
I want to
get
into
3D
sure
printing all the time, but I can't.
You should do it, dude. Get in there. Come on now.
I can't, man. I mean, because I'll get so excited and I'll be like, oh, I can print this and this. Next thing you know, all I'm doing is printing crap.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, he's insane.
He goes all in.
But the more exciting news is,
yeah,
look what came in through the mail all the way from Japan and through the had to go through the customs and everything. I ordered it off the Amazon back months ago. It is the Sega Genesis Mini 2. These reviews are starting to show up on the YouTube recently. Comes with 60 games, including Sega CD games. It has some 32X games on it. I'm trying to remember now what the box said, and I don't see the box. But anyway,
I don't remember.
It's just like, right, it's just like the first one. It connects to a little micro USB for the power. It's got an HDMI, so you can plug it right into your whatever TV you got. It's got a couple of little USB ports in the front, so you can plug in two controllers. This one only comes with one controller, by the way. It's a 6-button controller. And it looks like this. It looks just like that original 6-button controller you remember back in the day for all those great fighting games on the Sega Genesis. That's right. We're going to talk about some of those great big sprites today of wrestling. And I don't think I used even one time. I didn't use a 6-button for any of those things, which makes me sad. But maybe I just didn't play the right ones. Well, that's not true. There was a couple of games that you could assign turbo buttons to, or automatically knew to use the turbo buttons, and that really helped a lot in some of the games. But Scott, I can't believe you don't have one of these yet. I have another one coming too. It's the directly from the Amazon.co.jp.
Yeah.
It is the Mega Drive version. All of these are shipping out of Japan, manufactured in Japan.
That's why you have to pay shipping on Amazon, by the way, everybody, if you're wondering why. Yeah. It's $30 to ship it. That's why.
The one I bought off Amazon.com, which is the Sega Genesis Mini 2, I believe I paid about $130 by the time they got through with shipping. I only paid like $80-something for the Mega Drive one from Japan. I don't get it. I don't know why it was cheaper. I do know it's slower, though, because it's not going to be here until November the 16th. It was originally supposed to be here, I think, around the 8th or something.
Well, not only that, but today's the 8th. Yeah. Not only that, you won't be able to understand 90% of the language text on any of those games, because that's the Japanese version of
it. Well, that's the thing. That's what I've heard from people. People are like, oh, would you not be able to read my number? Okay, so let me tell you a couple of things. So this Sega Genesis Mini comes with the first thing it asks you, what language do you want to have your menu in system? And I'm assuming the Mega Drive 2 is going to do the same thing.
You're
so
assuming.
I'm going to go into English.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of games, that were just released in Japan. There's plenty of games that were just released in Japan that just it has English in some of the menu in systems and some of the names. And it just does, you know, especially if they're planning on trying to market it to the U.S. And so I'm going to be able to get around just fine. I got a Dreamcast back there that is a Japanese model. Most times I can navigate no problem. Navigate no problem at all. Most of it makes sense. Usually it's like, you know, buttons next to it in circles. And I'm like, oh, I know what a circle is. Click.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not worried at all about the Mega Drive 2 that I'm gonna get in. So I'm pretty stoked about both of them. I played a little bit. I'm most excited about Rystar that's on here. We need to do a show on that eventually, but I can't wait to cover this in the next couple of weeks. I'm hoping that somehow one of these will find its way to Scott so we could do a full-on show, or you could still do it, I suppose.
I haven't done it because the only reason I haven't done it, I have the original one, the Genesis one thing. I want the two real bad. I think $100 is fine. I'll pay it.
Right.
I'm annoyed by the shipping. And it's purely this thing where, well, I'm an Amazon customer. I pay my Prime thing every year, and that goes up all the damn time. Why can't this be not shipped? But I understand it's different. It's just my brain won't let me go past that line. I don't know why. That annoys me.
So you're taking a risk, but your risk may pay off. It's according to how many of these were manufactured and how many are getting sold. There was a lot of pre-orders, so they probably didn't. I don't know how far above they did above what they had to do, but it'll happen just like everything else does. There'll be an Amazon store that gets a whole bunch of them in at once. They'll be based in the U.S., and they'll distribute it from here, and you won't have to worry about as much shipping. It may be a little more expensive on the core price, but I think $88 was the core price on these anyway. And then, like you said, plus shipping. So by the time you do tax and everything, it ends up being about $133. But like I said, I hope that I hope they made too many. I hope they made too many minis so that you can get one.
Well, I know they definitely are still in stock, so I could totally get one. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Anybody can get one now. You can go to Amazon.com and order one. No problem.
Yeah.
No problemo. But I've fired it up. I've played some of the games. I love it. But I love my first one, too. I love the Sega Genesis Mini. And I haven't hacked this one yet. I'm trying to go for the, you know,
are you gonna?
The stock experience. I'll eventually hack it.
You'll hack it eventually? Did you hack the first one, the first model, or no?
I did. Yeah, that was totally hacked.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I totally hacked that one. It's a really simple firmware hack. It's not much to it. I mean, you just, there's a, what's called Hack Chi, and it allows you to, you just plug in your USB into your PC. It backs up your firmware. It puts another firmware on it, and you load in your ROMs, and you do play your games. And then if you want to back out, you just throw back in the original firmware, and you're good to go, baby.
Good to rock. All right. Well, that's great. Congratulations to you on this, because this is a fantastic new device that you were willing to spend an extra $30 for just to have it shipped.
You dang Skippy. I want it now. I didn't want to wait. I wanted it now.
Oh, well, good, because now I got this.
Shall we play a game?
Do you want wrestling now? Because I got now wrestling now. All right.
You got, oh, wait. So you got wrestling now.
Yep.
Now.
Yep. Now.
But do you have this wrestling?
Which one's this? Hold on. I guess zoom in. I have that one. Well, I have the ROM. I don't have the cartridge.
Right.
I did this back in the day. I had the Genesis version of that back in the day, but.
Yeah, this is the Super NES version of WrestleMania, the arcade game by Acclaim.
Yeah.
I also have, you might be to see it back here playing behind me. It is the Sega Genesis version of, which one is it? The WrestleMania, Super WrestleMania. That's the Super WrestleMania.
Super WrestleMania. Okay. I like that your screen has not moved at all, and you're probably burning in your CRT with this.
I was curious about that because usually you have a demo. So here's your wrestling game. So usually you have like a little demo back there, but it's not running through the demo. So let me just
Some characters. Oh, there's
press
Randy.
A couple of buttons. There's some of the crazy people back there. The crazy. Oh, Luke is just snapping to a Slim Jim.
Oh, no. Get the Slim Jim. It's time to snap into it. We will talk all about that game coming up because it may or may not be our number one pick. But here's what we did this week. We broke it down into five of the best, according to Brian and I, not the rest of the world, not some other list somewhere. This is our list, so yours may vary. And if it does, email us, text us, let us know what changes you would make. Which ones did we miss here? But if we're staying in the realm of 8-bit to 16-bit, these are the ones we chose as the best five, the top five, okay? Again, not definitive, just ours.
No.
All right?
We measured it this way. At least this is the way we measured it. What makes a great wrestling game, we asked ourselves. Well, is it playing your favorite wrestler? Is it pulling off their signature moves? Is it one player versus multiplayer? Is it colorful commentary, which is important to me in wrestling games? Mm. Is it the fan adulation, the grappling, the pinning your opponent? Is it the fighting? Is it, what is it? So I came up with a formula on my side, and I think Scott did as well. And we kind of, we met in the middle here.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about this list, actually. So this, I played every one of these this week. I know you did as well. I have a couple of things, a couple of caveats with each one, but I still think they deserve to be on this list. So let's start with this one. This is, I'll give you some sound first. Here you go.
This Mario? Intro is
stupid, our intro.
Love it.
It may as well be Kirby or Mario or something.
Yeah, I love that. That's what I love about it. It's so Kirby Mario.
Now this part. I mean, clearly we're talking about an 8-bit NES game here. And that game would be Pro Wrestling on the Nintendo Entertainment System. But also on the SMS.
Right, it was on the Sega Master System.
Yes.
I had the Master System. I never get to talk about my Master System, but I had the Master System. Didn't have this game.
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
I feel a little bad that SMS also stands for texting people things. It's kind of funny.
I know, me too. I can't believe they stole that.
Yeah, well, those jerks. Anyway, this is developed by Nintendo / Human Entertainment. This is our pick for number five. You get to take from a list of six non-licensed wrestlers. Brian's favorite
so
is Starman.
We're not talking about the Hulk or any of those kind of guys, right?
Do you like Starman? That's your favorite, right? You like the Starman?
I like the Starman. He's from space. He's a wrestler, and he's more of a luchador. He's like he's got the full thing going. He's got that big old mask on with the star on the face. I like him. He doesn't talk smack, but he's pretty cool.
I'm more of a King Slender fan.
Oh, yeah.
I like King Slender.
I'm actually
a big fan because, again, I'm not so connected to the actual wrestling world, professional wrestling world. I don't really care that much about the characters. So I actually prefer when they're made up. It's more fun to me because it's like, making stupid names like the thick ham or the, whatever you want to name them, you can do it.
Ken Korn Karn.
Yeah. King Korn Karn or Ken Korn Karn. That guy's great.
King Korn Karn.
Yep. King Slender, Starman, the Amazon, Hayabusa, Giant Panther is another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you wrestle.
There's King Korn Karn now. Yep. What a fantastic name.
Is he the pink one or the yellow one? I forget.
He's the yellow one. Starman is the pink one. He's wearing a full. I hope he's wearing a full bodysuit, but maybe he's also pink. I'm not sure.
I hope they both are. I hope they're both wearing full suits because the refs are a very different color than these people. Anyway, it was great for what it was when it was. Played this a ton back in the day. I owned this. I think my brother and I played it a lot. And
I think I heard some stats that it is like it was a black box game. So it was like one of those earlier ones. And it was like, I think like 21st or something in ownership. So, I mean, a lot of people had this game. I was shocked at how many people had this game.
Gameplay wise, it played like you would expect a game like this to play. Very simple moves and stuff, like you're dealing with two buttons and movement. So there's a little bit of nuance with like, hey, I can throw this guy toward the rope, and there's sort of a way to do that, but it was all a little clunky and weird. It was more mutton mashing. Yeah, it was more of a button mash time to play this game and to play it well. I didn't feel like there was a lot of skill going on.
There was this punch, like you said, punching, kicking, running, some wrestling moves that you could perform. So yeah,
amazing translation. A winner is you, and you would win is what I would say.
That is, if you've ever wondered where that came from, because we've heard that before. Yeah. But a winner is you came from pro wrestling on the NES. And some people may be going, number five, they did pro wrestling. Surely Fire Pro Wrestling is going to be on this list, and maybe it will, maybe it won't be. We'll have to see.
Yeah, you have to wait and see if that's on here or not. All right, so that's your number one. It's pretty basic stuff, but then we jump into an arena that I have fond memories of, and it's this game. Now, this is the Genesis version. If this sounds ridiculously like something Capcom might make, well, I got good news for you. Listen to this punching, even. I mean,
what are you playing, Street Fighter? What is that?
Yeah, this is like Capcom dipping into their like sound library and saying, here you go, have all these things that we use for Street Fighter normally. That game would be Saturday Night Masters. Slam Masters. I left up Slam.
Slam Masters.
I can't say words today. Saturday Night Slam Masters, and it includes...
That's a tongue twister.
That dude from Final Fight. What's his name?
Hager. Mike Hager. Macho... Is it Hager?
Yeah, it's Hager.
H-A-G-G-A-R. I always say Hager. That's what I saw on screen, so I always said Hager.
And I like that. I like a little crossover. I also just think this is one of the better looking and animated affairs.
Yeah, so fun.
In particular, the crowd's pretty into it, and they're fake. They're all fake wrestlers. So you got Biff Slamkovich, Gunlock.
Slamkovich,
maybe. The Great Oni, Titanic Tim, El Stingray. That's cool.
Yeah.
We mentioned Mike Macho Hager. Alexander the Greater, which is like
greater.
It's greater like cheese
he's
grater.
The cheese grater. Yeah.
You got King Rostamon, Jumbo Flapjack, and the Scorpion.
Did you say King Rostamon? Did you say it like with the, you got to pronounce it like local?
Do I?
King Rostamon.
I feel like that would get me in trouble if I did that.
Okay.
That's but fine. You know, what do I know? I don't know things.
Yeah, what do you know?
Anyway, it's fun, dude. This is a fun, over-the-top game. It knows how to be flamboyant and goofy, and the wrestling feels good. The moves are fun. It's just kind of Street Fighter in a ring in a lot of ways.
Street Fighter in a ring, but they're doing all the wrestling things. They got the audience out there. They got the walkout, right? So if you've got a good wrestling game, you need to have a walkout where you're coming out playing, you know, fighting. You got to get pumped up.
Yeah.
You got to get pumped up with your music and your lasers and your smoke and everything. And they got all of that right here.
They do have all of that.
Got a cameraman back there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Do you want to hear some voice work too? Listen to this. So that guy said 1, 2, 3.
You win. Yeah, you definitely are on the Genesis. Now, this was also on the SNES, which sounded a lot better.
Yeah, they had a better sound.
We didn't get into this part. There is tons of videos out there about the console wars and how it's like, oh, you know, this version is better. The Genesis version of Saturday Night Slam is better than the SNES or vice versa. I heard most people say the SNES version was. I got to kind of disagree a little bit because I don't necessarily care for the sound as much. Because the SNES definitely wins there. and it's more colorful than the SNES. But for me, sprite rendering, these big pixels and, you know, these big chunky sprites, the Genesis is always is a sprite handler. It does very good.
Not only that, it felt I think it feels fast. More responsive on the Genesis. Just feels like a tighter experience, whereas the SNES version of the game just feels a little sloppy, slow. It's hard to explain. This is true of a lot of those games where they were cross-platform, and it's not really a knock on either system when they both because they both have their weaknesses. But when it came to, like, that's why I like sports games, especially action-based sports games, on the Genesis more, which a lot of people did back then. And there was a reason. It wasn't just brand loyalty. It just felt tighter, like cleaner. Yeah. It's hard to explain.
Like I said, it's that sprite rendering. That was one thing that the Sega had. It had that ability to get those sprites up and fast and moving along. So, but once again, you'll hear just as many people say, "Oh no, Brian, the SNES version was way better." Mm-hmm. And it's fine.
And this had some light grappling technique stuff, but it's not known for. The grappling is secondary. Like, it's more of a fighting game, more of a battle royale kind of thing.
It's definitely more of a fighter. We have a couple of those on the list, and if you do it right, it's fine. Now, some people will complain. Like, I think there was how about this slam from Next Generation Magazine issue 6 from June 1995. Are you ready to hear what this guy had to say about Saturday Night Slam Masters on Genesis? Step into the ring as any of the 10 beefy wrestlers and pull off attacks like Rasta's dread lock drop, Hager's spinning pile driver, and Stingray's jalapeno comet. Or for a different twist, step out of the ring and take on your opponent with tables, chairs, and beer bottles. That's right, you can get outside the ring, which I love in the wrestling game. Anyway, it goes. Saturday Night Slam Master isn't anything new. This is where it gets bad. This is where it starts going downhill. The graphics and sound are generic and bland. The fighting and range of characters have been seen before and done better. The barbed wire ring of the death match does add minor excitement, saving the game from being horrible. Horrible.
Horrible.
Gave it a 2-star.
Oh.
However, two-star, man.
Oof. Most of the top 10 lists, though, include this game now. Like, it's not weird to see it on there. Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Most reviews were like, you know, middle to upper. It was mostly this one guy. He really hated it, but I loved it.
Listen to this win-loss text. So Hager won this match, and he says, "Winner, drop me a line so I can visit your hospital room." And the loser guy said, "Blimey, I've fallen and I can't get up." Oh, my Lord.
That's one of the best things about this particular one, and it was definitely in the bonus. You know, I talked about the smack talk earlier, and that's one of the things. Like, my favorite line was, "Only the greatest and strongest deserve admiration, and since I am the greatest and strongest, all must praise me." Very Japanese thing to say, and I'm down with it.
Generally speaking, fighting games, wrestling games, all the way up through even current day, the stupid shit they say when they start a fight, end a fight, like Mortal Kombat aside, which is all about gross killings and everything.
Right.
Which is fine. It's its own thing. But like Street Fighter, when they're like, "Oh, I like what you're wearing." And the other one's like, "You come to fight me? You will learn the meaning of the word pain." And I just love everything about that so much. We got to do like a compilation video. Probably one exists, and I'm just talking out of my
answer. Oh, I'm sure. I wanted to dig. Oh my God. If we had more time, I would have definitely have tried to. I wanted to grab every great line of wrestling smack talk from all these different games. Just didn't have the time.
It's hard.
We only got a week here, people.
Look, it's hard to find it. Okay. We work hard for the money, but we can't do everything. All right. Next up, we got this one. Oh, look at us swinging back into the 8-bit realm. This is Tecmo World Wrestling. And you're all going to be a little surprised by this, I think. Yeah. This is a very cool game, and I think part of it is, well, Tecmo back then made nothing but cool, like, sports and sports-adjacent games anyway. But for an 8-bit game, it sure has a lot of cinematic stuff in it. Like, maybe it's the willingness to add a few extra frames of animation. These sprites look big and beefy. They don't look stupid and lame. The crowd's a little bad, but whatever. But what I really like about it, it's the first game that I'm aware of anyway, and certainly in the wrestling realm, where they have commentary down to the bottom the whole time.
Yes, God, I love Tom Tark. I'm Tom Talker. I hear the call to action.
Yeah, look at him. He talks
on the screen.
He says what they do. So if they climb the turnbuckles, which is a great name, he tells you he's on the turnbuckle. He's jumping off to the thing. He's I can't believe it. Like he's doing what you want out of a commentator guy. Of course, it's not voiced because we're talking the 8-bit NES era of games. But he's basically, you know, doing commentary and play by play, which didn't really exist in sports games.
And it's kind of amazing to think that an 8-bit system game would have it's amazing that they're, you know, it's telling you what he just pulled off. I love it. I absolutely love that part of it. There's so much attention to detail in this game. It really felt like I was a wrestler. Out of everything I had played up until this point on the 8-bit, I was like, wow, I feel like I'm actually wrestling. I feel like this is moving along quite at a good pace. And that Tom Talker down there is really getting me stoked.
Yeah, I like that dude. Here you have the roster, the Samurai, Striker, Green Warrior, is that the Green Warrior?
Green Warrior.
Greek Warrior. The British Star, Kung Fu Master, the Siberian Machine, Mr. Tattoo, Iguana Man, the Flying Grenade, the Tactician, Technician.
The Technician, yeah.
And Earl of Doom.
I don't know if I played Earl of Doom, but God, I want it to be.
Yeah.
The Earl of Doom.
It's a cool little game. I recommend checking this one out if you
I like how it, since they don't overlay Tom Talker on top of the action. They like put him down in a separate section, which ends up making the top of the screen, like you said, very cinematic. There's, you know, it's like a 16:9 because they basically split the 4:3 screen in half. And I liked it. You got your count outs, you got your submissions, you got your three count the pinfalls. I loved everything about that. And my favorite thing about this game is where they kind of mix it up in between matches and before you start your first match. You can do these training bits where you're like you can do push-ups and I think it's like push-ups, sit-ups, and one other type of up. You can up your player's strength level up to 7 times. And if you do, your moves are more powerful when you're playing. So the attention to detail in this game just makes it a lot of fun. Also, if you lose a bout, you lose one of your training little training slots.
Oh, right.
And so you have to go back and you have to re-earn it.
Yeah, and when the game, it's a little disconcerting at the beginning of the game because the first thing it asks you to do is, do you want to go work out in the gym and do this training?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I want to wrestle.
I think I did that. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I need to do push-ups. And you got this, and this is the funniest one, is when you do the push-ups, there's like a sumo wrestler guy sitting on your back the whole time.
Yeah.
That part is like a mini game, and it's this button mash, and you can press either, there's only 2 buttons on the NES, but you can press either one of the buttons, and you just gotta like, just get it down and try to get it to the full, full
you're,
bars.
You're basically playing track and field for 2 seconds. It's like that.
And there's 20 moves, Scott.
Yeah.
Did I mention that?
20 moves.
You got a D-pad and 2 buttons, and they found a way to make 20 moves, like the automatic grappling. I really thought this was actually really good for 8-bit systems, since there is only 2 buttons. You finally found the little workout there. I love that stuff. Yeah. So when you walk up to your character, it automatically grapples, and then you can move your D-pad in different directions and hit your A or B button and go get them, big boy. But yeah, I really enjoyed the crap out of Tecmo. I want to thank one of our good friends of the show, Tondagosa, who ended up talking me into playing that this past week, because I was going to really just pass over it. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to play no Tecmo.
Yeah, Tecmo's like, good, oh, no, man. Good. They have some really great football games. They have some of the best football games ever, actually, in video games.
Yeah.
I love them. Nothing wrong with Tecmo. All right, there's your number 3. Big one. Now, number 2, we got a little beef here. All right.
Oh, we got some beef. We got some smack talk coming down.
Yep. Here's some of that.
I can't wait to take you down in the ring, Scott Johnson. Shut up, brother.
All right. So, I wanted to showcase this. This has. This is Genesis, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and say this has some of the best sound work that Genesis ever saw in its lifetime.
It's really good. I know lots of times it sounds like you're playing the captured audio from a Model 1, And the Model 2 had a lot better sound. No, I wouldn't say a lot better, but better sound.
How about better sound, better yeah. Sound. I mean, I don't know what... I wish I could compare the two and put them in each one and see.
Right.
But it has great ambience. Like, that crowd sounds like a freaking crowd. That's rare for the Genesis to have good crowd noise. It's animated really well. And they're basically... So here's where the beef comes in. There are two games that look and sound a lot alike. One is WWF Raw, which is Brian's pick for number two.
That's my pick, Raw!
From 1994.
The last of the LJN run. Yes.
Yes. My pick is the game from the year previous, which is essentially the same game in a lot of ways. So my argument maybe is no good. But that one's WWF Royal Rumble in 93. And I don't know what it is about that one I prefer, but I just... something feels better to me overall.
Right. I think you said that you felt that the sprites were a little bit laggy. And I was curious when you did the emulation.
Not laggy. It was more of how many frames they use. Like, it felt like it had more frames to it.
Right. So were you using, when you're emulating this, were you using the 32X version of that? Because I think the 32X got a version of this, and the resolution is higher, but I think the frame rates may be lower. That was just one theory I had.
No, mine's Mega Drive / Genesis. I'm not actually sure.
Okay.
The other thing is I played this game a ton back in the day, but I forgot how this grappling meter works, so I lost a lot because I don't remember how it works.
Without the turbo button, you can forget it. So if you didn't assign your turbo button to the grappling, because when you do the grappling in this game, both the ones we're talking about, WWF Raw and the Royal Rumble, you grapple your opponent and there's a bar that can go either way, and you have to like button mash.
Yeah.
And if you have it on turbo, you can do it. Otherwise, I lost every freaking time. You just knocked the ref out on screen. Somebody just knocked the ref out. That means it's time for eye gouging.
Yeah, I love that actually of the game. The game lets you punch out the ref.
Yeah,
so he can't pay attention.
You can do some of those eye gouging at that point in time. You can't do it otherwise.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's why.
Where'd you go? I think you just described
why I like wrestling video games in general, because in the real world, it's all staged and it's athletically interesting and also hard to do. And I'm not trying to besmirch wrestling. Wrestling is cool. But I'm not as interested in the drama of wrestling. But in a video game, I am kicking the guy. I am throwing him down. Yes. I am punching the ref out. Like, there's no faking in the game. And the game itself is a fake. But, you know, what I'm doing in the game is me doing it. And right. I'm not living by some script. So for me, that's, I think, why the video games appealed to me, but the actual wrestling was less interesting to me.
Yeah, because you know, there's a story to tell there. They've got character development going on TV, right? So it's intentional to develop those stories and get your emotions involved. And like you said, here you don't do that. This is what it would be like if you were, you know, if this was, you know, I don't want to say the really real world, but you know, it's kind of like you said, you get to make your choices and this actually happening. There's no pre-script there. You're making the decisions. You could lose, you could win, who knows?
Mm-hmm. And here's what's cool about this one. You got actual dudes.
WWF dudes
from the thing. So here's your roster. You got 1-2-3 Kid, Bam Bam Bigelow, Bret Hart, Diesel, Doink the Clown is my favorite.
Yes.
He shows up later in our number one pick. We'll talk about that in a minute. Lex Luger, Luna Vachon, Owen Hart, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, and Yokozuna. They don't have, WWF Royal Rumble for the Genesis has Hulk Hogan.
Right.
The SNES version did not, I think. It was some weird deal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the different versions between the consoles, they had a few different characters.
It was a licensing thing, if I'm right.
Some of it was licensed, and I think a number of, I think because of some of the modes, I can't remember. Didn't they have like two less on the SNES or something? I'm trying to remember if that correctly. Anyway, yeah, there's definitely a roster change. There's definitely different roster members in different...
I don't know how the Genesis got Hulk Hogan, though. That's the biggest get for that game. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out too, because I was trying to figure out what year it was and what might have been going on, and yeah, there was a
Because you got to remember, back then everybody loved Hulk Hogan. Back in the day, he was the man. Back in the we're not talking about the
aged, WCW stuff,
aged weirdo now that put had sex with his friend's wife and got in trouble and sued and all that. Forget about that for a second. Back then, if you were going to have a wrestling game, if you didn't have Hulk Hogan in your game, then your game wasn't as cool as the one that did. Yeah. So that's my the case I place before the court today, the retro court. WWF Rumble, Royal Rumble for the Genesis had Hulk Hogan. Brian's Raw did not.
So that's a good argument. That is a valid reason to say that that's your number two. There's nothing wrong with that. Like you said, if you're not really big into wrestling, or maybe if you are big into wrestling, I don't know. If you're not into wrestling that much, you've probably heard of Hulk Hogan, but you might not have ever heard of Bam Bam Bigelow or Lex Luger, or Luna Vachon. That's the other thing too. Raw had the very first lady wrestler, the gorgeous lady wrestler for that. So that's a bonus for me. Do I really want to play as Hulk Hogan? Maybe back in the day, but now I'm just like,
It's kind of a who cares now. But
I'm gonna be playing Doink the Clown anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Doink the Clown every time, 100%. The game also featured Mega Moves, which was new. And that I will give credit to Raw for that. They were not in Royal Rumble. So if you're going to do a Mega Move, you better have the newer game. Okay?
Right. And that was one of the reasons why we picked this. It's like there's like LGN did like three of these WWF games in a row. And they were all kind of similar. They had a lot of the same mechanics. Different rosters occasionally, but switch in a few people here and there, a few different moves and things, but they were pretty much all the same game. If you don't need to have Raw and Royal Rumble unless you're a completist. You could really have one or the other and you would pretty much get that era's experience.
They're almost exactly I will cop to that. They're almost exactly the same mechanically, visually, sound wise, like they're kind of the same game.
I mean, there's no sense in having both. You could, like I said, if you're one of the diehard fans, but if you're just like, I need a wrestling game, I like WWF, and this is the kind of the generation, it'd be fine. You could get either one of these.
All right. Now strap yourselves down, everyone. We're now going to tell you the best one, the best game of the list.
Strap yourself down.
Just seat belts on, I guess.
Right. Have the Undertaker sit you down for just a minute. Pin you to the mat.
That's right. Have Andre the Giant check your oil. Here comes our number one pick of the week. Here it is.
Doink the Clown.
Doink the Clown. You hear that?
Yeah.
Next matchup, Doink the Clown versus The Undertaker and
The Undertaker.
Now, if this sounds a little over the top, I got good news for you. It is over the top. You know what Bally Midway / Acclaim were doing back in those days? Why? They were making a bunch of mo-capped over-the-top video games. And if you played Mortal Kombat, you'll know the technique of the mo-cap. But also, if you played NBA Jam or NFL Blitz or NHL Hits or any of the big over-the-top sporty games, they made a wrestling version of that, basically. And it was in arcades first. It was very much the hotness. It was in arcades first. Very fun, ridiculous over-the-top stuff. And they brought it to home consoles. Brian's right about this being the best. I think. I mean, people are going to have different opinions. It's an arcadey game, so that's the point. It's not meant to be super serious or super like ultra realistic or anything. But it has more frames of animation, more over the top moves. It still looks good, in my opinion. Like, looks good. This is a Genesis version we're showing here, and playing audio from. I think this is a great wrestling. This is a great video game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to highly recommend people take just a minute and play WWF WrestleMania arcade game. That's what they call it. Is arcade game, which is a little weird.
Arcade game, which is I have the SNES version in my hand. I'm looking forward to playing it sometime soon.
Oh, you do have it. Let me see that again. Hold on.
Yeah. That's the one I got for the SNES.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I decided to go that route because I really wanted to hear the good sound on this one because it's got such good sound. And I think, I don't know if, I'm trying to remember, but I went down a whole bunch of lists. Anytime you port over from arcade, at the arcade, you would have Vince McMahon and Jerry the King Lawler and Howard Finkel doing, you know, get your commentary, you got your announcing. It was, it really took you into the that WrestleMania feel, you know? And so I really wanted that. I felt like, I didn't feel like the faster sprites were really going to be that big of a deal in the SNES version. So I'm pretty stoked about it. Man, but yeah, Russell, golly, this is the, to me, this is the ultimate. Even though some people say, that's mostly a fight game. Yeah, but it has the spirit of wrestling that feels like you're wrestling. It's fast and it looks good, like Scott said. And they do all this almost magical stuff, right? Because like the characters, when they do their moves, they actually have like almost a magic to them. Like the Undertaker, I think he like shoots out some kind of tombstones or something, and he has some finishing move that's related to that. So it's like taking all the imagination that you have when you're watching wrestling and presenting. Yeah,
it just digs into the like right now, they just showed a giant puffed up hand from Doink the Clown.
Yeah.
Like they're like, hey, what if we really lean into the lore of these stupid characters?
Right.
And had, you know, Gravestone shoot out of his hands. Like it is very much a Midway acclaimed thing of the time. And I'm down with it. This is the game I want them to remake, but in a modern engine, but have this kind of take on it. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Will I mean,
because
that?
Here we're getting to actually play the wrestlers that we like, the Tecmo and all those other games, great. But I'm actually getting to play as the wrestlers here, and this is the closest thing because these wrestlers went in and had themselves, you know, mo-capped using the Flock of Birds technology and all that stuff, and so they did all of these great moves. It's actually them on screen. It's like film of them on screen.
Yeah, and they didn't skimp on the home versions, which is I really like that. Because it felt like, at least visually, I can't speak to every other part of it, but visually the frames of animation are here. They're not cutting back. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, the sumo guy's butt. I can't handle him.
I love Yokozuna.
I like Yokozuna too, but geez, Louisa.
What's the move called? His move where he like kamikazes on top of you. I don't think that's what it is.
They might have called it that. I don't know. It was probably that, something like that. They were less sensitive to terms back
when
then.
When he comes landing on you, it's fan freaking butt slam or something. Yeah, that's something like that. But yeah, it's just amazing. When you in this game, you don't to avoid breaking up the gameplay, they don't have a bunch of pin a guy and then he kicks out of it. Instead, they go when their health gets down low enough, then you can pin him. And man, Yokozuna, when he gets to pin you, he just flops on you. It is fantastic.
It's great. I want to play this now. That's how much I enjoyed this. It's a very fun game, even today. How do you want to play it? Well, either have the original game like Brian just did in his hand, or you got to go emulate it, or that's pretty much all you get. That's all your options.
That's how it is now.
That's our number one pick. Do you guys disagree? Send us an email. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com or send us a text at 801-471-0462 and tell us why we're wrong. Okay. All right. did we mention this? You got your Bret the Hitman Hart in there, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Bam Bam Bigelow, Yokozuna, Doink the Clown, and Lex Luger.
Yes.
And there was
a few that... did you catch the part where Vince McMahon says boom shakalaka? You may not have unless you did the emulation.
No, I didn't know that. Is that true?
That's from the NBA Jam. Remember that?
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that, but Vince I didn't McMahon. Know he did it. I mean, he did it here, not in NBA Jam, just in this game, right?
Right, in this game. Yeah, which is an homage to the NBA Jam stuff. Yeah. So
it's an homage. Yeah. Anyway, get it. Despite the fact that I, you know, it was a quarter muncher, so the goal of the game was to keep getting you to put quarters in, I still think the home versions are excellent and worth playing.
So much fun. Fast.
All right. We also, there's some runners up here we want to mention. There's one called WCW Super Brawl.
Little WCW love.
This thing is
really good. Ladies and gentlemen, FBI presents WCW Super Brawl Wrestling.
No second chance.
A thirst for high impact.
You want Vader?
The sexiest man alive. Thirst for high impact. It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
It's not my fault. I didn't do it.
Whatever this person is doing, the intro screen to this is worth the price of admission. I know some people love the WCW Super Brawl. I didn't quite fit in where it was at because it's got like this isometric view, and the battling is really slow, and it's kind of just the opposite of everything that we were kind of looking for as arcade and game wrestling fans. For us, not to say it wasn't for you, but man, you got it. You got to respect the intro screen, the character screen where you're picking the characters. Mm-hmm. They pop out. It is so freaking 90s. They pop out and say their catchphrase. It's beautiful.
Yep. The commentary guy does too. And that's just shouting there on the mic going, oh, it's a kick to the groin or whatever he says, and then disappears. And
yes.
It's fine. This is it feels a little overambitious and didn't quite nail what it was going for, but
yeah.
But I think it's not the worst thing you'll play.
If you were like a WCW fan and you totally revolted against the WWF, I mean, you got to get it. Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, I think you probably could, unless you just got like some serious nostalgia for it. Yeah.
All right. Now explain this thing, this monstrosity that I'm about to play. Yes. Hold on here. This is called Fire Pro Wrestling. This never made it to the U.S.
In the 8 and 16
bit era. It sounded like this. A lot of crowd noise. Actually sounds pretty good. What system did this arrive on? What was this?
This would have been on the Super Famicom, probably, the what we're watching now.
Yeah.
And this is a really well designed game, probably more playable than all the rest, but we tried to stick with just US releases in the 8 and 16 bit era. And it just fell out of our, it wasn't possible to put on the list.
I think the dithering effect on all the characters is weird. It's weird. It reminds me of like Vector Fighter or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can't explain it. Just, it's real ugly now. I think for its time though, this must've been mind blowing, but.
Oh, it definitely was. And a lot of people love this, and a lot of people have rediscovered this game because they didn't, they probably didn't have a Famicom system back in the day or a Super Famicom system. So yeah,
that's true. How come it never made it here? People care about wrestling here as much as anywhere. Why didn't?
Well, Japan also very huge market for wrestling games. I don't know why it didn't make it over here. I didn't dig that deep, but it is a series I want to go into deeper in the next time we do a wrestling game. It'll probably be like in the 32-bit era, and I definitely want to like Super Fire Pro and all those kind of games. I want to get into those a little later when they start hitting the U.S. market.
The other runner-up is this bit of weirdness. Yes, that's right. If this sounds like an old Atari game, you'd be correct. Though specifically an Atari 7800. I don't think the 7800 or the 5200 changed the sound chip from the 2600. I think it was always the same, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It always sounded bad.
It always sounded like an Atari.
Yeah.
You guys got an Atari? Good job.
But why do I hate this noise? This horrible sound. Listen. I mean, that's just bad. That's like the same. Hey, guy working on asteroids. I need some of your sound files.
Yeah, it sounds like your asteroids or tank or something. It sounds like combat, something like that.
Yeah. And I know, listen, people at home heard me just say that. I know they're not sound files. I know. Okay. I get it. They're just getting the hardware to make whatever sounds it can make. But I just thought it was weird that even though they'd make graphical improvements to those line of consoles, they never quite figured out how to make them sound better. And I don't know if that hurt them or whatever, because the NES came along and said, hey, listen to this. And Atari went, oh, shit.
I love that it felt like I would have only played this, I don't know. It was made for 12-year-olds, which a lot of these games were, but this felt like it was, I don't know, man. It's got some of the rosters like Skinhead.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a character named Skinhead. That's nice.
Yeah, there's like a roster of four, and I think one of them is like Skinhead, and I don't know. There's just all kinds of weird. It wasn't a great experience, but I was just curious if anybody out there had was like a diehard title match pro wrestling fan for the Atari.
We should mention the name Title I'm Match curious. Pro Wrestling, it's called, and it's a 7800 game, which, you know, in retrospect, there weren't that many 7800 games.
Right.
They were on the tail end of things over at Atari, I'm afraid. I mean, that was all pre Lynx. Of course, Jaguar was much later, but when did the Lynx come out compared to when they stopped making consoles?
I think that it was later, but yeah, I mean, we're talking about this is the 8-bit computer. So you can compare the Atari 7800 to like the NES or the Master System or something.
Oh, I take it back. The Lynx came out that same year, 1989.
Did it really? Weird. So we're going to get deep into Atari and its dying throes one day.
We need to do an entire episode on the Lynx and an entire episode on the Game Gear. And the entire, like, we got to do like hardware focused episodes coming up.
Yes.
You know, well, that was a 16-bit handheld. Let's see.
Game Gear?
89. No, the Lynx.
Lynx.
And there were two versions of the Lynx 1 and 2. The only difference was the form factor. It got a little smaller. I'm trying to see.
So Jack Black could fit in his pocket?
It doesn't say how long it lasted. You could probably just look at the year here. They were Atari dropped the price to $99 when the 2 was launched. 1 in 3 million units sold total. There's still some homebrew stuff that people do for it.
Oh my God. Go to AtariAge.com if you want to find out where all the Atari people went. It is an amazing site, and yeah, people still develop games for it.
Oh yeah. Hell, look at this stuff, dude. There's a brand new Jaguar game right here on the front page.
All the time. Yes.
Nuts. Nuts to me. Did you ever have any desire to get that new VCS thing that they made?
I did have a desire when it first started coming out, and then the more they tried to make it be more than it needed to be, I was like, no, I don't need it to be all that. I just need it to be, you know, I don't need that. I don't know what you're trying to sell, but I'm not interested in what you're trying to sell right now.
That Atari thing's coming out this Friday, the big arcade collection 50-year thing.
Yes, I'm so excited about it.
Let me see if I can find that. Where is that?
We'll probably have to do an episode on that. And maybe we'll do it like a chat room has said. We should Atari for our 50th episode, which is coming up. We're almost a year in for Play Retro, Scott.
Oh, yeah, 43. And, when we hit 50, we should do Atari. Why don't we do that?
Yeah, we should do 50-50. 50 for the 50.
Yeah,
Atari.
But what do we do for that? Because that's a big range, you know?
Yeah.
Do we just do like all the big hits? Do we focus on arcade? Do we talk about hardware?
50
like,
of Atari's greatest hits for number 50 on the 50th anniversary.
let's see. I'm trying to find this here. Atari Mania review. What is this?
Atari Mania.
Okay. This is WarioWare meets NES Remix. Yeah. What is this?
I did see this. What is
bite-sized stages, mixed of classic gaming properties from Atari's past.
Yeah, this just came out this past month. It was something I was looking at, but I didn't get it because it had really, people were really dumping on it.
Oh yeah, this isn't great either. It says ultimately, Atari Mania is fun but very flawed game that just falls short of its enormous potential. So
right.
But the one
I'm still interested, but not at the full price that is still running at $25. That's what I thought when I saw it a few weeks back.
It's the big collection I'm looking forward to. That's what I want the most. I don't care about this.
Yeah, the big collection is what I'm looking forward to as well.
Yeah, that's Friday, right? Yeah.
I believe it is.
I'll be playing that on my Steam Deck.
Oh, I'm going to be playing that on my Steam Deck. Oh, you better believe it.
Oh, good news. Sorry, just remind me of this. The Return to Monkey Island, the new, brand new one.
Yeah.
Since we did a previous episode on the Monkey Island games, the brand new one just hit Game Pass today. So we can anybody can play that game on Game Pass.
Time.
You want to play it on a browser? You can. You want to play it on a phone? You can. You want to play it on a PC? How about on an Xbox? All of those things available
you
now.
On your Samsung refrigerator? You can.
Oh, is that true? No.
Oh, no, I doubt it.
So there you have it. That's our look at wrestling games. They're fun, man. Wrestling games are great. Oh, you know what I wanted to mention before I forget? The ultimate best wrestling game of all time, in my opinion.
Yes, give it to me.
It's not in the 8 and 16-bit era, which is why I didn't include it in this list. But that best ever made is WWE All-Stars. And if you never played this, you owe it to yourself to play it. This came out in 2009. I was so sure this was going to be a whole new series of these, and it just freaking wasn't. Which is really shocking because game is so good. It is so much fun. It is the ultimate in arcade good time. It's also, you know, modern looking, still to this day, still looks really great. And is just big heads, goofy styles, really leans into everybody's quirks and whatnot.
Animation.
It's got all the modern wrestlers, The Rock's in this, John Cena's in this. Sheamus guy, I forgot his name. Oh yeah, he's on screen right now. Let me see if I can find the. I'm going to find the roster here. Listen to this roster of players. I can't find it. Anyway, very favorable reviews. This is a PlayStation 3 and 360 era game, and I love this game. If they could please just remaster this shit today, I'll pay you money today. I'll pay you $50 now for this.
Right now.
That's how fun that game is.
Right now.
For real. Like, seriously, people, that is an amazing wrestling game. And it makes me sad that you can't really buy it anywhere now.
I really wanted to play that, Legends of WrestleMania. That was one of the ones I always meant to get. I haven't played it yet, though, but it looks so freaking sweet. A little bit slower, though. It was more of a slow burn than that fast action stuff you was just looking at.
Well, fast action is my brand, baby. I like me some fast. Give me, hey, you have some action? Yes. Is it fast? Yes.
Give it to me.
I mean, look at these guys. Look at them fighting. Look at them turnbuckling. Oh, boom. Oh, man.
I love how they're kicking them up in the air and they're continuing to hit them.
Like, yeah. If anything, this is like a spiritual successor to the one we picked from the arcade Midway game.
Agreed.
Because in a lot of ways, this thing kind of follows that. It's very over the top. It leans into stuff. You got voice acting, of course. You got way, way better sound quality. I still think this would look good on a 1080p or bigger screen right now. Like,
yeah, looks good.
Don't hold back. What's the problem? THQ, who got the rights to this when THQ folded? Because that's what happened. Maybe Nordic grabbed it. Maybe WWE are freaking weird about things and don't let their license just go to anybody.
Yeah, you can't blame them because if they found the right area to distribute stuff on, they need to be protective of that. They don't need to just willy nilly hand it out because there's so many, each wrestler probably has a different contract and everything. Oh my God. It's probably so complicated.
I know.
It's probably so complicated.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up this WWE 2K22 and see what all the hubbub's about. People seem to like it.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too. And is that where was that on Steam or was that?
Steam has it. It's also on consoles, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, Xbox One, PS4, Windows, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. This came out just this year, so it's not even this a year old year, yet. Yeah. Review wise, hold on. Mostly favorable reviews. That's nice to hear. Yeah. Let's see. It praises new modes and improvements made to the engine. Physics, let's see, AI, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to see if there's a combo heavy wrestling mechanics and he liked it.
Man, it looks, it's when you've been playing retro, like for the last forever.
I know.
And
then
you look at the 2K22 and you're like, is that footage? Is that film footage? Is that,
I know.
These characters are so real.
Look where we've come, dude. We've come so far, you know, look at these people. That guy looks like a real guy.
It was like a real guy, man.
Yeah.
What am I looking at?
Look at these wrestlers. And you can make a wrestler.
A wrestler?
Yeah.
Now, some of those games we talked about, you could make your own character, I believe. I think like Raw, I think you could make your own character.
Yeah, Raw lets you make your own, I think. But like, look at this dynamic camera stuff. That crowd is all real individual little dudes.
Yeah.
Like, when did that happen last? I'm pretty sure Jason Momoa just walked by.
That's the reason why we had this discussion lots of times. Because you look at this right now and you go, look at that. And then we're going to review a PlayStation 1 era game because that's retro. And they go, no, that's not retro. That's 3D. And I'm like, okay, have you seen?
Yeah.
Have you seen how far we've come?
If you notice where we are now, you can't argue that anymore, I don't think.
Right.
I kind of want to get this on the Steam Deck. It's got like really high reviews for Steam Deck compatibility.
Woo, we're going to get the NWO edition. Woo, only $120.
Is that all? How much is the main one? It's probably 70, isn't it?
Yeah, if you just get the basic is $59, and if you get the deluxe is $99, and then if you're going to get the...
Well, I don't want all those. I just want the basic-ass game. I don't care.
Yeah, $60. $60.
All right. I might get
it. Then you can upgrade and get the whole damn pack, it says, for $9.99.
I might get it. I mean, this is where we're at with wrestling. May as well, play something. I don't know. I'm in the mood. Yeah. I'm in the mood.
I'm coming off the turnbuckle.
That's right. Damn it. Okay, that's it for all of that. It's time for this right here.
Destroy it.
Yeah, it's time for Guess My Game. We play a little audio from an old game. We try to guess each other's offering. Today, I will start, and here's my hint. It's an arcade game from 1992.
Oh, 1992. I was alive then.
Yeah, so was I. I was young. Mm. I had big plans and dreams.
That's right.
I don't know. I'm kind of living I'm living those dreams a little bit.
So look at me now.
I'm not going to complain. I what I wanted to do then, I'm doing. So
yeah.
I can't complain.
You can't complain.
At all. No. I also got married that year, and I can't complain about that.
Good job.
Yeah. That's why I just have
not publicly anyway, right?
I just had my 30th, dude.
Dude, you are retro.
What is that? I am retro. I'm retro. Yeah, holy shit.
Right now, you're retro.
I don't think people will be into me the way they are with their SNES games. I don't think they'll be into me that way. All right, here's your deal. We're going to play this thing, and you tell me what it is, all right? We're in the sports arena. I decided to stay there. That'll help you also, okay? So here you go.
Play at Chicago home.
The announcer cannot speak over the content as well.
Right.
He's like,
I'm assuming this is basketball, it sounds like. Something about tip. What did it say?
You're on the right. I almost said chode. You're on the right track.
Right.
You're sitting right on the right chode.
1992.
I'll give you another hint.
1990.
Konami. Wait. Konami made this. And no, it's not Arch Rivals. Definitely basketball. Hmm. Okay, the teams are all fake. They say Chicago and Detroit.
Yeah, but they said
not.
Chicago and Detroit. Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out.
It's not Pistons v. Konami. Bulls, so it's fake teams.
I don't think I played this one, though. I'm trying to think of what I might have played during that time.
Do you get
that? I mean, it wouldn't be like it's not an NBA Jam. 92.
Definitely not NBA Jam. Nope. Although Jam, I think, would have been around then.
Yeah.
The sound chip on
this
thing.
It doesn't sound anything like Jam, though.
The sound chip on this is actually pretty impressive. Like, it's a little above and beyond. Graphically,
right.
It's fine.
So it's not going to be NBA anything because it's Konami's fakery. So it's going to have to be Basketball All-Stars. Arcade.
No, but
1992 Basketball Champions.
You're so close. Not really. You're not that close. You're kind of close.
Okay.
The game is called Run and Gun.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And they just showed a guy who's supposed to be fake Michael Jordan, and he went and just did a dunk.
Yes.
This says 93 on it, but it's not. It was 92 when it first came out. Anyway.
Yes.
It is it's a basketball game that was weird in that it had it was like a third person behind the guy view. Here, I'll skip ahead to show you.
Right.
Look at this. Pretty ugly. But for the time, I remember going, oh, okay. It is a lot. It's a lot to look at. Yeah. And it's a little bit crazy. And also, you just feel restricted by this camera that does not shift or change. It's just, you doing you. But I remember in the arcade loving this and playing the hell out of it that year.
Yeah.
And so I thought it'd be a fun one to pick. So there it is. It's Run and Gun, an arcade game that's okay. It's fine.
Yeah, it was trying to be kind of 3D-ish, even just using sprites and stuff, background sprite scaling, that kind of stuff.
They're trying to be something that can't quite be,
Yeah.
And we were about to be able to be that.
We're almost there.
Yeah. It's not too many years before true three-dimensional sports games would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this represents an era, like I would say 93 to 96, or 92 to 96 would have been my sports game time. I love sports games then.
Yeah.
Loved them. We've talked about hockey on here. We've talked about other stuff. I played Madden every year.
It was a good time. Yeah, it was. Oh God, yeah. 92, that era right there. That was huge in sports.
It was big, and the Genesis rocked for sports. It was so good.
Yeah.
All right. Here is Brian's. Do you have any hints for me?
Well, I will start off with it being on the NES 8-bit, 1984, and you either know it right away, or you'll kick yourself in the butt for not knowing it sooner.
Oh my gosh. All right. This was 8 years prior to my game. So let's see what we got.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what this is already. I play this all the time. Should I tell you now or should I give it a minute and act
no,
like
no,
it's
let
hard?
It play for a second so the chat room can try to guess a little bit.
Wait, now I'm actually asking myself. Now I'm not sure. I listened too long.
Well, that's what I was hoping. I kind of picked a little later in the game because I knew some of it was kind of like, some of it's early on in the game. It may give it away. And I'm like, but I think maybe I went in deep enough.
Is it Balloon Fight?
It is Balloon Fight.
Okay, I was right. I play Balloon Fight all the time, and that music, that's the part I remembered. But there was some weird, like, running sounds it sounded like that I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. I picked some much later in the playthrough, so I'm hoping it wouldn't give you everything away there. But yeah,
I thought I did this one on here. Didn't I actually try to stump you with this game?
I can't remember. We're starting to get to a place where we've done enough episodes. It's not, because I actually thought I had actually done it before, and I'm like, I don't think I did. And I did like a search, and I was like, I don't think I did. I'm not sure. So
because I know we did it for, we talked about it when we did Joust, our first episode, because it's basically a Joust ripoff.
It is.
But a good one.
We need to make
one.
A list to make sure that we don't redo stuff.
Yeah. That's cool. Of all the Joust ripoffs, I actually think it's a pretty damn good one.
It's a good one.
The sound's a little annoying. Like that. That's what it is. I hear. See, that's enough to make you feel like you're having a heart attack, you know?
Yeah.
Like nurse. I can't do that. He's crashing. He's crashing. Nurse. He's 400 over 32. We've got to do something, nurse. All right. There's that. That was fun. Well, so I got it this week, and Brian did not get it. All right. So if you're keeping track at home, Scott is winning. All right.
Scott won this week.
Yeah.
Brian lost.
Who will win
but
next
didn't
week?
Didn't we all just win?
I feel like I may have lost, but I also won.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Time for emails. I got a couple emails. One email, actually, and then some texts after that. We'll read those in a second. Your email of the day is from Drew from Atlanta, who says, "Hey guys, I heard you were surprised that there were still Master System games coming out in the mid-90s, and based on Wikipedia, this is actually due to something else you've talked about on the show. Brazil. The Master System had a huge footprint in Brazil, and because of that and the Game Gear shared similar hardware, they ported Game Gear games to the system for years, and it was in all of these other forgotten territories. Love the show, Drew from Atlanta." Yeah, we talked about that a bit because it wasn't just it was Master System and Genesis stuff, and by I guess sheer connection, Game Gear. But that stuff still today,
is
massive down there. We looked at those weird consoles. Remember that weird blue?
Oh, I
thing?
Loved them. I would love to have one of those things. So yeah, that's that Sonic blue and white that we saw, or dark blue. Yeah, it was like a Master System 3 or something crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
I'll take two.
I would love one, dude. I really would. But I don't think you can get them here. Like, I don't know what I'd have to do.
No, I looked into it and I tried to find a way. You can actually still order from, there was some places you could order. I think I actually ordered from Amazon in Brazil or something, but you have to do all kinds of weird. You have to set up like a, it's by Tech Toy. You have to set up like a tax ID imports. I don't know. It got complicated, but I really still wanted to do it.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Someone in the chat said, who was it? Crow159 says, "I stumped Scott last week on Core about sound I made. I figured out what it was. So I'm going to play it real quick and then I'll remind everybody where I got it. So hold on right here. that was this thing. And I was like, where did I get it? And we couldn't figure out. It's from Bonk's Adventure.
Oh.
For the 16-bit TurboGrafx deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. Oh, you did find it, says Crow? Was that not it? Or was it this one? Is it that one? Is that also? That's Bonk's Adventure. Now I don't know which one's which. Shit. I don't know anything anymore.
Here's I don't know anything anymore. I forget. I've heard too many things in my life. I'm backed up.
That's right. I'm all backed up.
I am. Yeah.
Oh, hey.
I got constant.
Yeah. Sorry, I just noticed. I think that WWE thing is on Game Pass. Let me double check here real quick.
Oh, that would be even better. Oh, my God. I love not paying any money except for what I'm already paying. That'd be great.
22. Let me just see. Let me see. No.
No. But they did add three new games today, like Football Manager 2023 and that Monkey's Island you talked about earlier. And
yeah. One other game they too. Got a lot of great games, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, high praise, by the way, for Ghost Song. If you want to, a Metroid like, dude, Ghost Song is good. But that just came out too. Anyway, let's go beyond that and do this. These are texts. We got two of them to read today. This one says, speaking of the definition of retro, reminding me that my 10-year-old refers to my retro games as, quote, old timey pixels. That is
you gotta show me them. Gotta show me them. Old timey pixels, Paul.
Yeah, that is not. He didn't leave a name, so I don't know who to attribute that text to, but whoever you are, that's awesome. I love it.
Totally. I know. That's fantastic. I love it.
Here's one from Micah from Syracuse, New York. It says, hey there, Scott Hall and Brian Knobs.
Oh, hi.
I don't know what that means.
All the knobs.
Love the show. That's probably some wrestling reference. I don't know. He says, love the show and all the wrestling historian, or as a wrestling historian. Oh, you know what? Please tell me that this is you. Hold on.
Real to me.
Please tell me this is you right here.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Please be that guy. He's my favorite wrestling fan of all time.
It's still real to me.
It's still real to me.
Anyway, he's a historian. He says, my favorite wrestling game was always WWF Wrestling Challenge for the NES because it was the first game to have a character simply named You. While he wasn't the best in the game, he was moderately okay, and they gave him a cool theme song when he entered the ring. Since it was not until the N64 and PS1 that you could customize your own wrestlers, which is a big draw to all wrestling games going forward, I feel having his avatar character back in the NES days was a great catalyst. Thanks for all you guys do, Micah from Syracuse. That's pretty rad.
Yeah, that was on my list. I did play a little bit of WWF Wrestling Challenge this past week for the NES.
Yeah.
I think that was the one that had like the isometric view. It didn't appeal to me. It was a little bit slower, if I remember correctly. I'm not saying it's not a great game. And you're right. It is awesome that it blazed some trails with the getting to play as you. I did like that part about the game. But I think it just didn't quite level in. So if it's on your top five, I'm down with that. It's fantastic. Whatever WWF means to you.
Well, you're very agreeable today. Let's see how agreeable you are.
Well, I mean, okay. So if there was only like 10 WWF games or wrestling games, I might be a little bit different about it. But God, there's so many wrestling games.
Oh, there's a lot.
How can you be mad at anybody for for liking something in that big old pile of stuff?
There is a preponderance of wrestling games, it turns out.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're done. We got many more to come down the road. I'm going to pick up this new one. I don't know why I'm suddenly into it, but I've ignored it since it came out. Now I think I'm getting it. Thanks, Brian. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Brian. I'm Brian. Scott Hall.
No, don't worry, Brian.
Stay strong, Scott Hall.
And Brian Knobler. What was your name? Knobler? No, Knobs.
No, it's Brian. So those are wrestlers. So that's Brian.
They are wrestlers? Scott okay. Hall. Scott Hall and Brian Knobs. Never heard of them. See, this is, I don't know things.
Heard of Dick Slater and Dusty Rhodes?
I've heard of Dusty Rhodes, not Dick Slater.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of Christian Slater. He doesn't wrestle, though.
No, he's all right. Does he? I don't know.
But he played a lot of Mario 3 and The Wizard. Or no, he didn't. No, he didn't play any. I think that.
You confused me, too.
The kid that played it was, he was the older brother or whatever. The kid that played it was played by the kid from the show in the 60s. What's his name? He was in The Princess Bride. He's the little kid at the beginning getting read the story by Columbo.
Oh, you're talking about Fred
Savage. Fred Savage. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, Little Wonder Years.
Yeah, that's the one. I couldn't think of the damn names. Anyway.
Killing me.
That's going to do it for today.
Scott Hall.
Hey, a reminder, next week we got another show, and it's also going to be a slightly different time. We're going to do it on Monday, a day early. I have a trip I have to do, and it's going to screw up Tuesday through Friday, so I want to make sure we get a Play Retro in, so we're doing it early. Same time as usual, but just on Monday for that day, so there's your little reminder about that. If you want to watch it live, or just, you know, whenever you get the podcast, you'll get it a day early. We're going to talk about Baldur's Gate 1 and 2.
One and two.
Going back to the PC, for all you PC heads out there, I'm one of them. These are amazing games. One and two are two of my favorite games of all time. Three is about to hit, and so perfect time to talk about the legacy of these things. But also, we can talk a little bit about Icewind Dale and some of the stuff that kind of came out, you know, sort of on the periphery of the Baldur's Gate.
But this is such a big area to talk about.
This was BioWare at their best, man. That's what this was.
Yeah.
And if you haven't played it lately, you should. The enhanced versions of those games are very good. But we're going to talk all about those next week right here on Play Retro.
I wonder if you can play the old school on the enhanced edition. I think it's like $20 or something on just about everywhere.
Oh, yeah. PC versions, I think even less. Yeah,
I wonder if they'll let you play like some of these enhanced editions will give you the ability to play like the retro version or the old school version.
Well, in this particular case, they are the same sprites and stuff. They're just scaled up. Yeah. So I think you'd be happier with this, I think, than playing the original res. Because those originals look real crusty.
Oh, yeah. That's what I like, though. I like the crusty.
Yeah, it's a little too crusty. But these new enhanced ones, I think, are actually pretty good. Faithful takes. They didn't do full remasters or remakes or anything, which is fine. You know, maybe that still would be a cool thing, but I think they'd suit you pretty well. I have both of them. I have one on the iPad and I have the other one on PC, and they're both excellent. Anyway, that's next week. The early Baldur's Gate games, meaning the first two before these two new ones or this third new one comes out, which is also very rad, by the way. That'll do it for us. Patreon.com/playretro is how you support the show. Be like Tony Mazes, who just joined us. I hope I'm saying that Tony. Right, Tony. If I'm saying it wrong, please let me know. I have no problem being corrected. But Tony just became somebody who no longer ever has to deal with ever a commercial or ad. He gets pre-show content every single episode and monthly benefits. Go check it out at patreon.com/playretro. playretroshow@gmail.com for our email address. And don't forget, you can send us those texts, 801-471-0462. All details can be found at frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, that's going to do it. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to today's discussion?
Brian plays these games every day, 6 p.m. Eastern time, most days at 6 p.m. Eastern time on twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. That's nice. Right. That's what I wanted to say.
Nice.
Nailed it.
That's great to say that. I like that. Well, that'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening, for being here, and for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. Go play something retro. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I want a rematch.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.